and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15.
The Beth Messiah congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Revolution NMR LLC reminds listeners to honor our military members. Without their courage, we would be unable to enjoy the freedoms granted to us in the Constitution. Let's salute those who have given their lives in the line of duty, as well as those who serve today. Show your appreciation by sending a care package to our troops. Contact your local veterans organization for more information. This reminder has been from Revolution NMR LLC in Fort Collins, creator of scientific instruments.
Well, good morning. Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, as customarily, is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief to give us the information you're not going to get through the regular channels. Good morning, Joel.
Good morning, Stan. Our top story is the Israeli attack on Syria is not really about Lebanon. Israel claims that its aerial bombardment of Syrian targets is only aimed at stopping shipments of advanced weapons to the Hezbollah militia, which controls Lebanon. I suspect, however, that this is a pretense in order to attack high-value military targets that the Western-backed Syrian rebels cannot reach. Furthermore, I believe that Israel is acting on behalf of the U.S. and NATO in attacking what the West so far has been unwilling to do because of lack of public support for yet more costly military interventions. A new Reuters poll has found an overwhelming number of Americans opposed to attacking Syria, with only 10% in favor and 61% firmly averse to the idea. I fear the Israeli intervention is the backdoor means of implementing a secret U.S. policy to accelerate the toppling of the Syrian regime by any means. And while Israel may be acting as the tip of the spear, you can bet the U.S. is promising to replace all the munitions Israel is expending on its behalf. Well, the attack on a claimed Syria Hezbollah weapons transfer was the second this year by Israel, but there's no proof whatsoever of any weapons transfer, to Lebanon from this missile assembly and research facility. According to the UK Telegraph, the way this news was confirmed makes the strike very different. Veteran news correspondent Richard Spencer reports for them that using precision-guided missiles, the Israeli jets took out another piece of a complicated military jigsaw, mobile anti-aircraft batteries, that if transferred to Hezbollah's hands would threaten the very air superiority that allows Israel to operate in this way with impunity. Well, I doubt very much that Syria was intending to ship anti-aircraft batteries into Lebanon. Those batteries have long been situated near the border because they can threaten Israeli aircraft from where they are. They don't have to be inside Lebanon to do their job. And Hezbollah is still a guerrilla force, not an open military able to host such a juicy target within their borders. This attack makes for a convenient excuse to attack Syria, but it's really a cover for the fact that Syria's mobile anti-aircraft batteries are also a big threat to any Western military intervention, which I think is coming soon. These kinds of batteries must be taken down before the U.S. or EU politicians would dare commit aircraft to direct aerial attacks or even to enforcing a no-fly zone, which is never what it claims to be. There was also a military strike on Syria's Jumeirah Military Research Center near Damascus, causing casualties. This research center is actually a missile assembly plant and was the same site that struck last January. Neither of these strikes tip the excuse that they are keeping arms or being shipped to Hezbollah.
And I think you're absolutely right, Joel. I think that the American people don't want another war. The people who run our country do want a war. And so since they can't launch it themselves, they're getting Israel to do this. Israel is acting as a surrogate. And people have to understand that the elite that run America have their own agenda. It doesn't matter what the people want. They're going to involve us in a war there directly or indirectly. And I really fear that this could have serious implications. Anyway, go right ahead, Joel.
Well, the war, of course, is not just a war on Syria. It's a precursor to a further war in Iran, and that's the real problem there.
Right.
For the Israeli military tacticians for whom Hezbollah is the main conventional threat, this is a useful piece of work, writes Spencer. For Israel's political leaders, there's a broader strategic goal as well. We can tell this because the confirmation was made so public, with officials giving background details within hours of the strike. Usually, they're very mum about any strike anywhere that they make. The Israelis almost never confirm or broadcast any details when they attack another country unless they want to accustom Israel and the world to something bigger that is yet to come. While the U.S. and NATO have secretly recruited and armed Islamic extremists in order to topple the heavy-handed regime of Bashar al-Assad, the U.S. propaganda mill continues to excuse U.S. support as only humanitarian. However, the U.S. has numerous surrogates in Qatar and Libya to funnel a never-ending supply of arms to the Syrian opposition and is doing so daily via black market channels. So far, that secret aid has not been sufficient to get the job done. Syrian regime is proving to be a very tough nut to crack. A new propaganda campaign emerged this week with a Syrian rebel leader begging for more arms from the West and promising not to share these arms with extremists, as if that were possible. Though realistically, there's no set of distinguishing military uniforms or litmus tests that can clearly separate the good guys from the bad in what the West has cobbled together and claimed to be a unified resistance. Well, it's hardly unified. All the actors in these Middle East conflicts are some shade of bad and ultimately competitive with one another, so the end result will always be more revolution and more warfare, not peace, not to mention some horrific purges that will take place inside Syria when they finally do get control. But for now, the West is making the case that Iran is using both Syria and Lebanon to surround Israel and arm its enemies. Iran did put out a call for support of Syria and said it was ready to train the Damascus government army, but they're already pretty well trained from former Soviet days. Well, the rebels taking over much of the north and south are hardly in good condition, dominated by Islamists, many of whom believe America's refusals to back them with arms and help them finish Assad off is a conspiracy to weaken the future country run by them on behalf of Israel. Well, there is surely some truth to that suspicion, though the U.S. often engages in conflict creation to justify more intervention. They always avoid giving the controlled opposition sufficient arms to be a threat to either the U.S. or Israeli interests. The U.S. has so far been unable to capitalize on the red line they put out about chemical weapons use in Syria by Assad, despite this week's defection of a Syrian Air Force Russian MiG-21, which intelligence says has been adapted to carry chemical weapons. Well, nice try, but that's still not a smoking gun. Equipping an aircraft for chemical weapons use is not the same as use. The defective aircraft had no chemicals aboard. The fact remains that no credible evidence has shown that Assad has been stupid enough to use chemical weapons, knowing that the U.S. is just itching for him to cross this red line.
Hold the thought. We'll be back in a moment.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on.
Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial scale power. Great Plains Power is a full service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com. Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Well, unfortunately, we are always manipulated into wars by one phony explanation after another, whether it be the phony lie of the Gulf of Tonkin incident, whether it would be certainly the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, whether it would be wicked Iraqi soldiers bayoneting helpless little Kuwaiti children, throwing them out of the cribs in the nurseries in Kuwait and bayoneting them, or certainly even what happened on September 11th, where over 1,800 architects and engineers have said the buildings came down by controlled demolition. They didn't come down, as we were told, because they were hit by airplanes. But they're always trying to manipulate us into a war, and they lie to the American people. And until recently, I think most people have believed it. Fortunately, more and more people are beginning to understand the media is controlled, going to alternative radio, some of which is controlled as well, but at least there is some truth there. And this is, of course, what our purpose and goal is to bring you the information you're not going to get elsewhere. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, Syria has been further isolated by Western governments by cutting off all internet and cell phone access to the country. By forcing Syria to go dark, the West hopes to make those still supporting the Assad regime become disheartened and lose hope. This kind of denial of service attack could be accomplished either by physically cutting fiber optic service cables, which was not done, or by someone intervening at the main routers on the net, which had to be done outside Syria. Even with the increasing attacks, the Telegraph and other influential media outlets complain that more is not being done about Iran. Nothing is certain, they write. Mr. Obama is still holding back, saying on Friday that he still could not envision boots on the ground. But Washington authorized this week a leak of details of its new bunker-busting bombs that could drill deep into mountains and hide Iran's uranium-enriching centrifuges. This is a U.S.-Israeli conversation that's being conducted in startling militaristic terms. And that is because the plan to attack Iran is still on. It just needs Syria out of the way first. As I've explained before in previous World Affairs briefs, Syria has the most missiles that could potentially do retaliation against any Israeli attack against Iran being allies. Well, InfoWars correctly noted the same thing and tried to hone in on the timetable, quoting U.S. Army's top staff officer, General Ray Odierno, saying that a military assault on Syria is within the next 3 to 4 months, if it's going to happen at all, that budget cuts would render intervention after that time or after the summer unlikely. Speaking with reporters yesterday, General Odierno, Army Chief of Staff, warned that the planned training cutbacks due to the sequester meant that if the Obama administration wanted to give the green light to intervention, it would have to do so sooner rather than later. And he says if it takes longer, it is unlikely the U.S. will intervene. Well, I disagree. Odierno doesn't know what he's facing when he's facing a situation where the globalists won't take no for an answer. Look how many windows of opportunity have come and gone over the attack on Iran, and it's still coming. Then, following the government line, Odierno also praised the Free Syrian Army rebels, the majority of whom have pledged allegiance to and are being led by al-Qaeda terrorists, for their fighting capabilities, and said it was not a matter of if, but when they claim victory. Well, and I'm predicting that victory will be very bad for Syria. Be a lot of purging, a lot of killing and infighting there. Well, it's no wonder after remarks like that that the military keeps marching off to war under global civilian leadership and direction. The military men that are placed in charge of the Joint Chiefs and Armed Services haven't got a clue about the hidden agenda in our government for intervention, in spite of the fact that they are tutored by globalist professors at the nation's elite war colleges. Well, no discussion of Syria would be complete without the connection to the Benghazi attack, which killed a U.S. ambassador and several other persons trying to save his life. There was a three-winged circus going on in Congress this week as a few minor whistleblowers testified in ways that partially diverted Congress from the real picture. There are two crucial aspects of that real picture. One, that the Benghazi ambassador and embassy were involved in coordinating arms trade with Libya to arm the Syrian rebels and jihadists, all proclaimed enemies of the U.S. When the attack went down, the secrecy was blown when competing jihadist groups in Libya moved in to take the weapons for their own use. And the second crucial issue, in order to keep the operation a secret, national security advisors to Obama ordered to stand down a military force ready to jump in and rescue personnel at the embassy. They wanted no survivors who could testify to Congress about what they were doing. Well, there ended up being 30 survivors of this, various injured and wounded that were taken to Walter Reed Army Hospital in Washington, D.C., and held incommunicado. And nobody was told that they were there. It leaked out, and that for some reason the White House didn't want them talking to the press or to Congress. Well, there were some mild dissidents within the State Department airing complaints in these hearings about how badly Susan Rice, U.N. representative, represented the situation on Sunday night talk shows. Rice was the one putting out the preliminary propaganda about the attack being cited by Muslim outrage over a sloppy video that was parroted by Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama as well. Well, despite downplaying the most blockbuster aspects of Benghazi, there was some good material that surfaced. Hearings before the House Oversight Committee featured three whistleblowers: Greg Hicks, Deputy Chief of Mission in Libya, who gave the best testimony, Mark Thompson, and Eric Nordstrom, Regional Security Officer in Libya. And Hicks said that he spoke to Ambassador Stevens during the attack. Stevens said, "Greg, we are under attack," and then the phone went dead. Hicks reported that there's a protocol on how to handle a demonstration, if that's what it was, and that protocol was not invoked by Stevens because it wasn't a demonstration. He further stated that the alleged YouTube video cited by Rice on behalf of the Obama administration was a non-event in Libya. In other words, there was no demonstration against the video at the compound, only a deliberate and pre-planned attack. And the State Department was officially putting out garbage. He testified that Ansar al-Sharia, the terrorist organization in Libya, claimed credit for the attack. But he also reported the hospital to which Chris Stevens was taken was a hospital guarded and controlled by Ansar al-Sharia, demonstrating the contradiction in his claim of responsibility. Well, more importantly, Hicks testified that his defense attaché told him that a plane could arrive in Benghazi in 2 to 3 hours from Aviano Air Base in Italy, and that if one flew over Benghazi, the Libyan attackers would scatter. However, Hicks later reported the U.S. never asked the Libyan government for permission to fly over Libyan airspace, and so there was never an intention to provide that air support. The U.S. Embassy persuaded the Libyans to send a C-130 to Benghazi, on which the U.S. could send reinforcements. But as Lieutenant Colonel Gibson was about to go to the airport in Tripoli with his crew of rescuers to catch the plane, he was ordered to stand down and not go. The orders came from AFRICOM, AFRICOM command of the U.S. Army, but Hicks did not know who communicated the order to Gibson. Well, he could have found out if he'd asked Gibson. That's the key piece of information which Congress and the public will never be allowed to know. Those running the show, not Obama, didn't want anyone to be able to trace the infamous order back to the source. Well, General Hamm of AFRICOM would know, since he was rumored to have been relieved of his command after refusing to issue that stand-down order. That means that someone else called Gibson with the stand-down order, and Gibson would know who that was. Strangely, neither of these two key witnesses are being called before Congress. Well, Hicks' testimony about the rescue forces was countered by State Department officials who claim that no rescue attempt could have arrived in time. Others vehemently disagree, saying that the intentional delays by the government made this a self-fulfilling prophecy. So I don't know if we've heard the last of Benghazi, Stan, but that's my report on it as of this date.
Okay, well, I think that, you know, it's a tragedy, but I think, you know, four people dead, yes, terrible. But who talks about the 70,000 innocent civilians slaughtered in Syria by the rebels that we're funding? Go right ahead.
Well, next topic is about China's aggressiveness continuing even in the face of U.S. concessions. China always gives the impression that it's a broker for peace in North Korea. And that was picked up by the media this week, saying the clearest example of Chinese influence on Pyongyang was the latest report by U.S. intelligence indicating the two-road mobile Musudan intermediate-range ballistic missiles that had been readied for test launch on North Korea's east coast were removed recently. But at what price were these concessions given? Secretary of State Kerry bought a carrot that Beijing apparently found hard to resist. He offered to cancel his planned deployment of the 14 additional ground-based ABM interceptors in Alaska and California if China did more to stifle North Korean bellicosity. Well, the deployment of such an anti-ballistic missile system, however ineffective, is somewhat ineffective because it doesn't have any warheads, always makes Americans think that they are protected. But the U.S. doesn't really intend to defend America against a massive nuclear strike. The various ABM systems the U.S. has deployed are probably capable of interdicting a few missiles, but not the volley of missiles China and Russia are prepared for some future time. Mr. Kerry's accommodation of China in standing down the extra ABM deployment is par for the course in U.S.-North Korean relationships, always backing down from the toughest sanctions any time North Korea offers even the most minuscule retreat. Compare that to the treatment of Iran, where the U.S. will eventually attack a much less aggressive nation with no proven nuclear capacity. Meanwhile, China continues developing its military and projective power in the China Sea, especially playing havoc in around the Philippine coast in the Scarborough Shoals, which is a primary Filipino fishing place. Chinese have invaded. They made a deal a few months ago to stop their invasion of the area, but they're back with their patrol boats, and the U.S. is doing nothing to help enforce the agreement. This is typical how China muscles in on weaker nations. The U.S. is currently pressuring the Filipinos not to engage Chinese patrol boats, but this permissiveness will only embolden China until someday even U.S. force won't be enough to defend Philippine claims without it leading to war. Meanwhile, China continues its huge military buildup on all fronts, Army, Navy, and Air Forces, in anticipation of the inevitable confrontation with the West. This year's annual Pentagon report to Congress on Chinese military modernization for 2013 has many more details than last year, but it doesn't tell all. But the growth and sophistication of China's military modernization is ominous. China naturally is using a variety of espionage techniques to accelerate its acquisition of U.S. military technology. They use industrial espionage to fund companies that order military-grade parts from around the world. These companies are actually owned by the Chinese government, even though they have civilian-sounding names. Educational espionage. The U.S. foolishly allows thousands of Chinese students to study at major technical universities who return home with all of that newfound knowledge. And then they use economic espionage, requiring companies who build parts or products in China to share their technology with the government. This is done to cut its reliance on foreign arms makers. even Russia, Russian arms, who gave China its first weapons.
And I think it's so important people realize this is all a prologue to a war with China. It's not a matter of if, but when it's going to occur. We're creating, once again, the best enemy money could buy. Our guest this morning, of course, is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief, and we'll be back here in just a moment as we continue Joel's analysis of what's going on. But, ladies and gentlemen, understand we're doing everything we can to help the Chinese build up their military capacity and everything they can to limit our ability to respond to a nuclear attack at some time in the future. And we're going to be back here in just a moment, hopefully, with Joel Skousen. I guess, go ahead, Joel. Looks like we have another minute to go.
Okay. Well, China's building two new classes of missile submarines in addition to eight nuclear missile submarines and six attack submarines being deployed as part of the arms buildup that analysts say appears to put Beijing on a war footing.
There we are. Okay, we'll be back in just a moment here with Joel Skousen at American Future.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on.
The name is Patriot Trading Group, and the website is allamericangold.com. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President of the Patriot Trading Group, and we handle American gold for the American people because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. So if you want your portfolio to help you get the job done, or if you want your IRA to be safe from Wall Street and the paper markets and your kids' future to be protected, then call us, the Patriot Trading Group, at 800-951-0592. You'll be glad you did.
If you own a firearm, it's important to have proper training. Or if you're considering purchasing a firearm for self-defense, it's important to know the right person to train with. Josh at D&M TAC is a federally licensed firearms dealer, certified NRA instructor with a great firearms training course. Want more confidence with the operation of your firearm or to increase your precision and advance your level of training? This is the place. The hands-on in-depth classroom curriculum includes 4 hours of extensive range practice and basic firearms training, malfunction training, self-defense mindset, concealment training, and more, all at the greatest value in the gun training industry. If you want to learn proper firearm skills the right way, the first time, and want to surpass your current skill level, Josh at D&M TAC has the firearms training course for you. This course also qualifies you to apply for concealed carry permit and for advanced training. Beginner or advanced, tactical or defense, call 720-323-2534. That's 720-323-2534 and ask Josh about your KHNC listener discount.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21.
Well, Dr. Mann back here at the Network. Our guest this morning, Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. And so before we go on, Joel, would you like to tell our listeners how they can subscribe to the World Affairs Brief and how then they can get your excellent books on building a secure home, strategic relocation, etc.? Go right ahead.
Thank you, Stan. The World Affairs Brief is showcased on my website, worldaffairsbrief.com. There is a modest subscription price to support my work. People can get a free sample issue by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. At joelskousen.com, people can see pictures and a synopsis of my three major books on preparedness. The bestseller is The Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places. It's in its third all-color edition. It provides the most comprehensive coverage of contingency planning for relocation around the United States and Canada, any book out there. In fact, it's the only book on the market. My major work is The Secure Home. It is over 700 pages and covers everything a person needs to know about high security construction and self-sufficiency in preparation for hard times. And the other book that we have is in its all-new fourth edition. It's called The High Security Shelter Book, and it has full architectural plans on how to do a safe room in an existing basement, which is people's most economic alternative, usually, if they have an existing basement. And all three of these books can be had from Radio Liberty
by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. And ladies and gentlemen, we're in for some difficult times. People would like to think that this wonderful utopian world we live in is going to go on forever, but I believe God is going to bring an end to it, and we're going to have some terrible times. You cannot continue, certainly, dominating the world and bringing suffering and death and destruction to nations throughout the world. Remember, we installed the communists in China in 1949. We financed the Soviets in Russia, going all the way back to 1917. And, of course, hundreds of millions of people have been killed by these tyrannical regimes. And in the wars that have followed, and we've never had anything serious in America. Well, I think that those days are coming to an end, and you begin making your preparations for your survival and the survival of your family in the difficult times that are lying immediately ahead. Right ahead, Joel.
Well, the Pentagon's annual report also includes new details of China's deployment of an aircraft carrier, of a new ballistic missile specifically targeting aircraft carriers, two new stealth jet fighters, and two new road mobile intercontinental ballistic missiles. The Chinese military also is developing cyber warfare capabilities that can be used for preemptive strikes. It's already been, you know, attacking and using cyber warfare on a regular basis. The government says that we're concerned about the ability of China to develop missiles that can protect its military power with precision at great distances from China, obviously something that can hold at risk large surface ships. However, the Pentagon report noted that no single weapon system is the problem. Instead, it said it's the integration and overlapping nature of these weapon systems into a regime that can potentially impede or restrict free military operations in the Pacific. In other words, this is becoming a very sophisticated, integrated military now, like Russia and like the United States. And so this is of concern, and yet, sadly, the U.S. is systematically disarming and limiting our arms that are capable of combating a traditional two-ocean world war threat like this while wasting most of our military resources on Middle East intervention. The U.S. will regret the limiting of the F-22 fighter now that the F-35 replacement has been shown to be way too costly and filled with technical problems. China's surface naval forces also are expanding rapidly with deployment of several new tactical warships, the first aircraft carrier, and which it's going through trials right now, and just did its first launching and recovery of J-15 fighters. The report said China will likely build naval or several indigenous aircraft carriers over the next 12 to 15 years. These kinds of estimates are what make me believe that major world war is still 10 to 12 years away because of their needing to be ready with a major blue water navy. And, of course, as we talked about in the Philippines, the report also discusses China's assertions of territorial and maritime claims that are upsetting stability in the region, including claiming Japan's Senkaku Islands and all of the South China Sea, basically. Mr. Fisher of the LASC Military Analysis Group said the latest report is far more useful than the truncated 43-page report from 2012. That's the one that everyone really complained about, that attempts to diminish the Chinese threat by simply not talking about very much. This is the first ever report which disclosed the development of the Type 096 submarine launched ballistic missile. And it raises the prospect of a new submarine launch missile that could have multiple warheads, Fisher said. As the administration presses for additional reductions in U.S. nuclear warhead levels and shows reluctance to fund U.S. nuclear arsenal modernization, it is doubly important that Congress be informed about the size and growth of China's opposing forces. Well, Fisher said the report failed to address China's transfer of strategic missile technology to North Korea, specifically the transporter Erector launchers for Pyongyang's new KN-08 Rogue Mobile ballistic missiles, and a failure to even chastise or sanction China's action for providing these launchers will only serve to undermine confidence in American security guarantees and our own nuclear deterrent. Well, as I've said for a long time, all of this reinforces my view that the U.S. is intentionally downplaying the China threat. Incredibly, the Chief of Naval Operations told Congress on Tuesday that he is vigilant of China but not worried by China's large-scale naval buildup. I mean, this is incredible. That's what happens when you purge out of the military all the Pattons and MacArthurs and advance only yes-men. And it must be noted the Pentagon doesn't even put out a similar threat paper on Russian nuclear forces, which are well ahead of China in both numbers and quantity. That's a crucial omission and has been going on for decades. So what is gained by downplaying the threat of Russia and China? It keeps the American public ignorant of the real threats. By not alerting us to the future danger, it makes sure Americans don't demand a change in our military strategy and posture, or prepare themselves for the war the government knows is coming. That's the reason our government is building deep underground bunker systems. We need to start focusing on the real global threats, not simply the Muslim threat, which is largely manufactured and exacerbated by the phony war on terror. This is no harmless diversion. I'm warning about it. It's a deadly time to be asleep and to be passive.
And, you know, I think it's incredible that the American people would honestly believe that a country like North Korea would be able to develop sophisticated missiles on their own, you know, and they can't even feed their own people. And of course, these things are coming from communist China, which is, and North Korea is simply a surrogate of communist China, but we never bring that out. And of course, well, the other thing is we're transferring so much of our military production to communist China for giving American technology. So they will have the finest enemy American money can buy. We'll be back in a moment here with Joel Skelton.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on.
Are you prepared for the coming chaos? Whether you are planning a strategic retreat or you have one in progress, Square Root Construction would be pleased to offer our assistance. With nearly 30 years of construction experience, Square Root Construction can help with design, engineering, and permitting issues, as well as a host of general contracting services from foundation to finish work. For a limited time, we are offering exclusive discounts to the listeners of Randy's program. For a no-obligation consultation, please call Doug at 303-517-8742 or drop an email to strategicretreats@gmail.com.
Brush Housing Authority in Brush reminds listeners to spend more time with an elderly member of our community. What better way to show you care than to remember a family member, friend, or neighbor? Checking on their welfare, making a phone call, or a simple visit can make all the difference in the quality of their life. That's from Brush Housing Authority, reminding listeners for housing programs, call 970-845-5046. That's 970-845-5046. That's Brush Housing Authority, wishing everyone a great, safe spring and upcoming summer. Tri Property Management in Greeley reminds everyone each year millions of children suffer from abuse. And although hundreds of cases still go unreported, behind the statistics are the lives of innocent children. Help conquer child abuse and report what you know to local authorities. Remember, your call could save a child's life. This message from Tri Property Management in Greeley. For a full range of homes or apartments for rent, call 970-352-1025 or go online at triplacestolive.com.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Joel Skousen, and we're going into the last session. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, I'd like to talk about the armed march on Washington, D.C. that Adam Koresh is sponsoring. I believe it's an unwise provocation. There are smart ways to organize a demonstration in the nation's capital to gain public support against government tyranny, and then there are moves that are really unwise. In my personal opinion, Adam Koresh's proposed armed march of several thousand volunteer protesters into Washington, D.C. is not smart and potentially will get all future right-wing demonstrations in favor of the Second Amendment banned as prone to violence. I've never liked Adam Koresh's style, sitting before a mic in black tank top, shaved but bearded head, and always talking tough. It's a militaristic style that attracts ex-military hotheads to the movement, and this latest gambit has that same uncareful style. Koresh is claiming to take several precautions to ensure safety and appear non-confrontational, like only allowing long guns and shotguns, having them loaded weapons but safetied, and then slung across the back, no one holding a weapon in their hands. While that's laudable, on the other hand, there's much that is openly confrontational and militaristic in style. They're going to muster in formation and march in formation to give a quasi-military appearance. Koresh says he will coordinate with D.C. police and request an escort in order to ensure everyone's safety. But if they refuse, which I can guarantee they will, he will do it anyway as an act of civil disobedience.
My understanding is that they want these guns loaded. Why, that's the most ridiculous thing in the world. I mean,
that's
especially
right.
when the military is marching with guns, those guns aren't loaded. Why would they even suggest that sort of thing unless they want a confrontation, unless they, of course, want to justify ever-increasing government control over our lives? This, to me, is the most provocative, dangerous situation. I can't believe that the people would be that stupid unintentionally.
Well, it's also an open invitation for a government to insert an agent provocateur among them who may fire a weapon and bring the demonstration under police fire.
Right.
And Koresh, who's a military veteran, says his purpose is to put government on notice that we won't be intimidated. Well, they are going to get intimidated. He openly states on his Facebook event that this is an act of civil disobedience, but stresses this will be nonviolent unless the government chooses to make it violent. Well, it's not that simple. When you openly violate a law about weapons, the police have little choice but to intervene, and they will. To make matter worse, in his interview with Alex Jones, Koresh spoke dangerous language. What he said, quote, "This is an armed revolt against the American government," unquote. But you just can't go around saying things like that, even if the right to revolution is guaranteed by the Declaration of Independence. It's a serious step not to be taken for light and transient reason and must have wide public support backed by a long list of grievances. Well, it's easy enough for constitutional conservatives and libertarians to produce such a list of technical violations of the Constitution, but they're not easily visible or provable to the common person. The government's current and future plans for taking away liberty are carefully masked by a myriad of executive orders, hidden memos, all sealed under the cover of national security, hardly the stuff needed to rally the world around us. Koresh and his brash statements show he hasn't thought this out very well and appears to be heading for trouble. Well, his brash approach will guarantee that no police in Washington, D.C. are going to cooperate with his demonstration. In fact, Metropolitan Police Chief Kathy Lanier said she will arrest Koresh and other protesters who violate the district's gun laws. Now, I have no doubt that he intends this to be a nonviolent event. But the presence of loaded weapons marching down the street where open carry is currently illegal is inviting a police confrontation. It appears to be Adams' intent to merely get arrested and to make a statement, but it could turn violent if some agent provocateur decides to fire any kind of shot at all. I, too, am an advocate of open carry, which refers to the public's right to carry a loaded weapon openly in public as long as there's no intent to engage in a criminal act. It has always been viewed as less onerous than carrying a concealed weapon, though I'm not sure that's really true. What is true is that when people can see a weapon openly, they have some opportunity to judge the holder and react. Open carry is also an essential part of the Second Amendment, because you can't bear arms if you can never be seen in public with one. That's a very important point. If every person has to have a permit to show up in public with a weapon, then a revolution against government tyranny would never get off the ground. To ordinary people, open carry restrictions by cities and states are not viewed as a violation of the Second Amendment to keep and bear arms, either for self-defense, which they think only takes place in the home, and for hunting, which does take place in cities. Of course, more technical regulations like the registration of all weapons is not a technical violation of the right to keep and bear arms, but it violates the spirit of it, and historically, registration has always been a precursor to confiscation and should be resisted strongly. While I would agree that no jurisdiction should be able to ban open carry under the Second Amendment, hinting at an armed confrontation is not the way to go about getting those laws changed. My objection to this demonstration by Kokesh, this act of civil disobedience, is that it's not going to gain support for Second Amendment rights or motivate any official in D.C. to feel more comfortable about changing the law. In fact, it will do just the opposite. It may be empowering to macho-type individuals who want to make a dramatic public statement, but most people will merely see it as a stupid violation of D.C. law and approve of police action to arrest them. Few will see this as standing up against something unjust, and it may assist government in further demonizing the pro-gun people as extremists. It may even prompt more states to ban open carry. We just had a great victory in stopping the latest assault rifle ban, but it's only a first step. They'll be back for more gun control, and every misstep the movement makes, which makes us look even more radical, will only help the gun grabbers. So let's be wise about carrying weapons in public.
Especially loaded weapons and a whole a couple of thousand people marching on Washington, D.C. I think this is probably the most dangerous thing I've heard in a long period of time. Our guest has been Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. Go right ahead.
Well, here is some good news to help bolster our cause to protect gun rights. The Bureau of Justice Statistics has come out with a new report that shows gun crimes have decreased significantly as gun ownership and concealed weapon permits have skyrocketed. And yet another example of the massive gap between the American people's perception of what is going on around them, owing to the propaganda channels or perhaps even cognitive bias. The actual reality, Reuters reports that while gun-related homicides are down a whopping 40% from 1993, only 12% of people believe that gun crimes have fallen.
We're out of time. God bless. Talk to you next week, Joel. Thank you very much.
Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial scale power. Great Plains Power is a full service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices. You don't need to be an herbal expert at the Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of the Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by the Green Herb located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's the Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I need to remind you my ministry is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, we'd love to hear from you, and if not, why, we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision, and for our protection, because we truly are involved in a spiritual battle being played out on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. Now, certainly most Americans live in a utopian society. Certainly we've never been ravaged by war in the past. We've been very, very fortunate here, as other countries, certainly Europe and England, have been ravaged on several occasions in past wars, but this has not hit America. Well, I fear that something big is afoot, and certainly if you consider the background of the possibility of an electromagnetic pulse attack. One nuclear bomb exploded 300 miles over Omaha, Nebraska, would wipe out the electronic grid of the United States literally instantaneously. 100% of every congressman, Democrat, Republican in 2010 voted to do something to protect us from the possibility of an EMP attack. It would be very simple to do, and nothing's been done. And it doesn't make any sense, ladies and gentlemen. For a few $100 million, we could protect all of our major cities from the threat of an EMP attack. And despite the fact that Congress has voted for it, nothing has happened. How can you explain that? Unless, of course, there is another agenda going on that neither the members of Congress or the average individual in America understand. If you want to understand the very real threat of an EMP attack that could change your life forever, let me suggest you get our 4-CD set on the threat of an EMP attack, that you get the DVD, the talk given by Ambassador Henry Cooper last year for Radio Liberty, the threat of an EMP attack, Michael Ballouf's excellent book, A Nation Forsaken, and he was 30 years with the Defense Department, and lastly, of course, the Congressional Commission Report 2004. They're all available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, you need to read them. You need to understand the threat is not imaginary. It's very real. Begin making your preparations for such an event because, believe me, I believe it is a very real possibility. I believe God works in strange ways. And what an amazing way it would be simply instantaneously to destroy the electronic grids in America and take us back to the way it was in the early 1800s. Is that the plan? I don't know. But I would not be at all surprised, because if you look at what's going on, it doesn't make sense. And if it doesn't make sense, there has to be another explanation. So basically, of course, the Congress certainly has not done anything. They've all voted to do something, but nobody's following through. The people I talk to in Washington, D.C., who've studied this, are frightened to death. And the average individual is frightened to death, and yet they have so many diversionary things that they focus their attention on. This very real threat, and believe me, both Iran and North Korea have the ability to put at least one nuclear weapon 300 miles above Omaha, Nebraska, or, of course, it could be a solar situation as well. Certainly, so massive solar flares, it's about time. They occur about every 100 years. The last one was in 1859, and we know what happened as it wiped out our whole telegraph grid, and so they created fires in the forest, burned down telegraph offices. But believe me, this next situation, if you have an EMP attack, it'll be worse. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Ready to Live Again. Please protect the Monday. May the Lord be with you.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time, the only begotten